was down at Widawi today, and I went by the first church I pastored. Well, how God reminded me of what He's done for us. And I bless His name tonight. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 9 this evening. So good to see you here. No need in standing tonight. We're going to start reading and try to dive right in what the Lord's laid on our heart. Continue praying for Sister Peggy. She's still having some very difficult days. Miss Tassa's mother, Brother Mark Cooper's mother-in-law, has a brain tumor. And they've been going to some long roads with her. Continue praying for that family. I know they'll be grateful. I wish y'all pray for me. I don't know what's come on me tonight, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach or not. But I'm going to try it. And I don't know if it's me or the devil. But we know the Lord's on the throne, don't we? What I mean by that, I don't know if I'm sick or it's just the devil. But I know God's still in control. Amen. What about y'all praying for me? Would you do that? Brother Randall, you lead us in prayer tonight. Ask God to touch me. Help us. Help us. Oh, Lord, yes. Amen. Revelation 9, verse 1. I'm going to cover something tonight I've never seen, never had the thought. The Bible said, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. There's a smoke of a great furnace. Preacher, what's going on there tonight? People's burning eternally. Well, they fire, they smoke. Amen. The Bible said, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. What's happened, preacher? Well, he just opened hell up. There came out of the smoke locusts on the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth hath power. It was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were like to horses prepared to battle. Their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses run into battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Tonight I'm interested in verse number 6. If you've ever noticed it, the Bible said, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I want to preach tonight on when death takes a holiday. When death takes a holiday. Now we've come down to chapter 9 where we're seeing these trumpets sound. We laid a little background last week. The church has been raptured up, taken out. You that just got saved, you ought to thank God for that tonight. That in Revelation chapter 4, when the door in heaven opens, you're going to go home with us. And boy, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a blessed day. We're going to get out of all this. And so, it's going to be 7 years of great tribulation come upon the world like the world's never seen. We're now about in the middle of the tribulation period tonight in Revelation 9, but I want you to notice that there is a person that appears. The Bible said in verse number 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, currently tonight, if you'll turn over with us to Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 18, let's look at where them keys are at this evening. Jesus writes in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. I like that song Brother Chris sang. Said, he ain't in the grave no more, honey. He's alive. He said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And then he said, amen. We ought to say amen right there tonight. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So here we see in Revelation 9 verse 1, this person comes and the Lord gives him the keys to the bottomless pit. What a terrible place tonight. Now you'll notice in verse number 11, this person is called. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. And his name is Abaddon. And in the Greek it is Apollyon. Both mean destroyer. And boy, nothing's changed about the devil tonight, has it? He's still in the destruction business. He loves to tear up homes and churches and lives. Anything that has to do with the Lord Jesus. But we find a little more about this star tonight. First of all, in Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. I want you to mark this in your Bible. We're going to take a look at Lucifer himself and his origination. We're looking at this person, this angel that Jesus is going to give the keys to open up this bottomless pit. Now, in Isaiah 14, verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, the word Lucifer means a brilliant star, or a light bearer, or a shining one. And he says, Son of the morning, how art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now, in verse 13, I want you to start underlining something that the devil said when you see I. The devil had an I problem. The devil was a person very lifted up in pride, and pride's still of the devil tonight. He said in verse 13 of Isaiah 14, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And my goodness, isn't it amazing how when pride starts, look where it winds up. And I'll be like the Most High.
Honey, ain't nobody like God. And He ain't nobody's co-pilot. He's God Almighty tonight. And so the devil said, I'll be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? He still has a lot of prisoners this evening. Now, the parallel writing to Lucifer, you might want to pin this down by Isaiah 14. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 28. We want to go there. We're going to get a picture of this angelic being known as the archangel tonight, or the devil, in Ezekiel 28 and verse number 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and said to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now here he is, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. You remember when he came and he tempted Eve? Where was she? She was in the garden of God. He has no respect of places. The devil will come any place that he finds a little old gap, a little old opening. Nothing is too holy for the devil, friend. And so he said, every precious stone was thy cover. He was a beautiful rascal. And they some beautiful devils tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Well, the devil will paint you a pretty picture. He said, these stones was your cover. And said, you're covered with them, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Now verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and thou shalt, and never shalt thou be any more. Now we see that here his fall. We find that he is the anointed cherub. Most scholars, if you read after them, they say that Lucifer was over the music of heaven. The Bible said he was created with those pipes. He was a beautiful spectacle to look at. But something happened with the devil. He got lifted up in pride. Boy, how he loves to get us lifted in pride. How he loves to make us think that we can do things without God. Boy, he loves to make you think that, well, you don't need the Lord, you can do that. Let me tell you, everything that we've got tonight, the Lord's given it to us. Everything we got's Bob. Them little babies sitting on your pew that went downstairs tonight, They just borrowed, honey. You better enjoy every second of their little life because you don't know tomorrow if you got them or not. The power ain't in you and it ain't in me, honey. It's in the God of heaven that sits on His throne tonight. And all power is to Him. And we better watch this pride business. Devil loves to use pride. Now, boy, stinking, rotten pride. It's nauseating to God. I mean, God hates pride. Matter of fact, the Bible says something about pride in Proverbs 16 and 18. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride will creep in on any of us, and we better say it won't happen to us. We just better be on guard, because when it comes toward us, to be sure to kill it. Proverbs 16 and 18. Y'all underline this. Pride goeth before destruction, and an old haughty spirit before a fall. You ever met anybody that knowed everything about everything and you just couldn't tell them nothing? Have you ever met somebody that God may have painted a little prettier face on somebody and they get so full of themselves? I mean, you can't even be around them. They got that old haughty spirit, and why, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. But I'm going to tell you tonight, honey, we better watch this thing of pride. You know what you'll do? God will start using you, and if you ain't careful, pride will get on you. And I'm preaching out of experience. I remember as a young preacher, Brother Gerald, God had opened many doors for me as a young preacher. And the first year I was, folks, it was amazing the doors opened for me. It's just amazing. I was someplace every week of preaching. And you know, I got a little big-headed. I got to thinking, you know, it ain't a better younger preacher in the country than me. I mean, people getting saved, the altars are filling, phone ringing off the hook. Man, I'm a doing something. Be careful, he'll come to your house. But I remember one night I got in the pulpit and God said, okay, preacher, you're so good, have it. And I'd rather been at a hog calling. You hear me tonight? I am reminded Jesus said, without Him you can do nothing. And I thank God He broke me as a young preacher and showed me, honey, that without the Holy Ghost I was nothing. And singers, you better watch it tonight. People go to bragging on you and petting on you and saying, man, I love to hear you sing. And the devil come by and he'll go to blowing your head up. Amen. Teachers, you better watch it tonight. Devil come by and tell you, you're the best teacher. And why, you ought to be teaching every time you stand. You know how come people get mad and leave the church? They get full of that old green-eyed monster jealousy, that pride thing that comes in our heart. Young preachers come in, think they can preach a house down, won't know why the man of God won't preach them every service. I can tell you why. Because they're full of theyself. And honey, let me tell you something. These folks that come in like this right here, and they say, Brother David, I didn't really come to sing tonight. I didn't really come to sing, but you know, if you call on me, I got one or two. And then their little lips pooch out because somebody didn't call on them to sing. Honey, let me tell you, we don't do this right. We do what the Holy Ghost wants done tonight. If He wants a song, we'll sing. He wants us to march out in the highway, we'll go in the highway. But pride's out of hell tonight. We better watch that old pride come in our church tonight. You better be careful. You tell folks we had 13 saved Sunday night. We'll have 100 leave Sunday. God has a way to humble you, honey. It ain't nothing we've done. It's divine providence by a living God that's sitting on His throne that decided to move in Liberty Baptist Church Sunday night. And I bless His good name that's seated. It ain't your preacher and it ain't you, honey. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost tonight. Watch your head when you tell people at church we had 13 saved Sunday night. Nah, 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 nah. He'll cripple this thing. He'll put us on our knees. Lord God in heaven, I wish You'd send revival to Liberty Baptist Church. I wish You'd save 100 here in the next week. I got to thinking, we got 20, 25 to baptize Sunday night. Wouldn't that be amazing if all 20, 25 did the Great Commission? Went and told people what happened to them. 25 new ones come in, heard the glorious gospel and got saved. Them 25 got excited, went out, got 25 more. My goodness, before long, why, we'd be having a New Testament church around here. Honey, we ought to be getting excited about what Jesus is doing in our church. And it ain't about us. It's about a sovereign God that loves His young'uns and honors the Word of God and honors the people of God when they have the right kind of heart tonight. I tell you why God ain't moving in most churches. They don't want Him there. Messes up their program. Messes up their visitors. Afraid their tithe budget to fall down. You fend somebody and run them off and we ain't going to have no money no more. Hogwash. Amen. To God be the glory tonight. Amen. Boy, I hope He keeps us so out of debt that we ain't got to realize on nobody. But the Lord started it, the Lord will finish it. Folks, we started this thing taking up about a $450 offering a week. Don't tell me the Lord can't. I've seen Him give away trucks and cars. I've seen Him do things that's amazing tonight. You look around, it ain't no money crowd here. And we go to rooting Him out in pride, thinking we something. Think we the most independent Baptist church in America. Honey, when you go to thinking that you're the only one right, you fixing to fall tonight. We better watch our head. We better watch that stinking thing of pride. You ladies, you better watch spending all that time in that mirror. Spend some time on your knees in an altar. Don't get quiet on your preacher now. I'm a preaching. It ain't about us tonight. Well, I'm offended. I'm offended. All about me. Me, 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 me. Pride. Pride. You better underline it in your Bible, honey. Pride. Pride's kicked a lot of people out. They're going to lose their homes tonight. They're going to lose everything they got. Because pride, you got to humble yourself. You got to stay at the foot of the cross and realize where our blessings come from tonight. Without the Lord, we can do nothing, Liberty Baptist Church. We can't gloat in nothing but a big old sovereign God. That's all we can gloat about. And we can gloat about people not running to church. Well, my voice is cleared up. Luke 10:18. We see a fall. All through this Bible, you can see how God used people till they got big. Till they got to thinking that God owed them something. Luke 10, verse number 18. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So we see that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Where is he tonight? If he was cast out, whatever he was doing, in my opinion is, he was one of the highest angels God ever created. And he got lifted in pride and God said, buddy, I'm your maker. And you're never above your maker. God booted him out. The Bible teaches us a third of heaven, a third of angels fell with Lucifer. And that's what runs us crazy. They're the ones that is a sign to where God's churches are, where God's people are. And tonight, I tell you where he's at in Job chapter number 1. We see his fall, but now let's look at his force. God kicked him out of heaven. What's he doing? He's walking up and down in this old world seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? He'll be to your house by Sunday. Job chapter number 1. Don't think he don't know how to ring your doorbell. Job chapter 1. And you know what really breaks my heart, church, tonight? You listen to me, new families. You listen to this preacher tonight. I'll get up here and I'll preach. And I'll run around and I'll wet a shirt. and I'll preach everything in me, and I'll tell you what the devil's doing, what he's up to, and how he do it. And when he comes, you got to apply preaching. You can't just tuck tail and run to the world and throw a towel down and say, I'm done. Honey, if he can blow you out tonight, he's going to blow you out. You got a purpose in your heart. The devil ain't blowing me out of the house of God. Because he knows your weakness. It's just like watching a film. Any of you boys ever played ball? You ran pregame films. You looked at the weak places in the line. You seen where their weakness was. And if the coach was worth his salt, he said, that's where we're running the ball this week, right through the weakest point. Listen to me, young Christians. The devil loves to get the little lambs tonight. He loves to get the weak ones. Very seldom do you see anybody spiritual get mad and leave out of a church. It's always the weak little baby Christians. And the man of God, look at me now. We ain't praying, we're preaching. Look up here at your preacher. You better hear me tonight. This is why we preach, to let you know what the devil's up to. Be on guard. Don't let the devil knock you out tonight. Grow in the Lord. Get off this pablum business and get on some meat and grow for the glory of God. Don't you think for 15 years that Miss Sherry and Brother David wouldn't have an excuse to leave and quit? Don't you think maybe in 15 years Brother Mike, Miss Sheila might have an excuse to leave? Don't you think maybe in 15 years of preaching at the same place, somebody's offended me and I say, well, boo-hoo, I just go home? Somebody, the devil knows what it takes to get you upset, and he's going to run it in that direction. And you better listen to the man of God tonight and realize it's the devil. Anytime that you feel like you need to get away from a place where the Holy Ghost is, it ain't God, honey. Why would God lead you out of a place where He's at? He pulls people to where He is. And we better realize tonight He's a real devil. Just cause you saved, all it means is you swap tracks. And honey, you on the other line tonight and you better watch the devil. He'll try to tempt you with what he used to tempt you with. It's coming. Some of you used to drink, you may drink again. Thank God you ain't lost. But if something inside of you say, hey, you're pouring that in on me and I'm the Holy Ghost and I don't like that liquor poured down me, amen? I mean, he'll do somersaults in your heart when you're doing wrong. Thank God we got a real Holy Ghost lives in us. When we talk bad or do something bad, he lets us know we say and we can't do the things we used to do. You may try them a little bit. That don't mean you're lost. Honey, for the life of me, I can get out here and nobody knows it. I can go get me a pack of Red Man. Nobody looking, Brother Dennis. Put some in my jaw. And I mean the Holy Ghost turns cartwheels in me. I ain't tried it for a while because I know what He's going to do when I do it. God's going to clean your mouth up. He's going to clean your houses up. He's going to clean your car up. He's going to clean everything up that ain't pertaining to be like His Son. He's conforming you to be in the image of Jesus tonight. And if He ain't a-working on you, you ain't got the Holy Ghost in you tonight. And if you ain't got the Holy Ghost in you, you'll die and go to hell in your sins. Thank God for the evidence of the Holy Ghost. My wife and me got a little crossed up last night. I had an option. I was fixing to go revival meeting. She'd had a bad day. I had a bad day. When two bad days meet, you're going to have a bad day. But I had to realize, Brother Tim, we just had folks got saved. We've had nearly 18 people saved out of this church this week. The devil ought to be raging. You got to sense that and take a log off the fire. Boy, I could just backed up and dumped a dump truck on that thing. You know, ego. Tarzan. Bless God, I'm right. You wrong. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? I run back in. I said, honey, I'm sorry. Give me a little kiss before I leave. It worked. You got to watch the devil. He's a real devil. And it kills me when people kick out and leave the church because the devil kicked them out. And you mark it down. This preacher said this. Mark it down in your Bible. They headed for trouble when it happens. You know what it takes in preaching and Holy Ghost to keep you just going how you going tonight. And you look at the struggles and the issues you got tonight. What if you didn't have this? Where do you think you'd be in 6 weeks? We'd be unrecognizable. And let me tell you, that's the devil's goal tonight. So what? Somebody didn't shake your hand. So what? They didn't call on you to sing. So what? They didn't call on you to teach or pray. So what? God's bigger than all that. He wants that to happen. He'll let us know about it. Watch that pride. Young ladies, watch that pride. Young men, watch that pride. Pride won't let you stand up and testify. I love what Brother Cece said Sunday night. Just been pride in me. I love what Sister Lanessa said. She said, if I'm going to get started right, I got to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. That's right, Cece. While the devil loved to have you sit down and close your mouth. Ain't it some after you sit down, he'll say, you look stupid. I mean, won't he? And then what you don't know is how many people you touched. Now, if he's just a patting you on the back and said, oh, yeah, that's exactly right. You better watch that. You would not believe how many times I preach a sermon and I leave. He says, Ken Bowman, you're crazy. You'd be a church as good as I pastor. Now, you'd be surprised how many times he tells me, they're against you, buddy. They don't like you. They don't love your family. They don't appreciate nothing. He's a liar. He's a liar. We got one of the best churches in America. Watch the devil. Where is he at? He's walking, seeking whom he may devour. Now let's look where he is. Not only his fall, but his force. Job 1. Boy, Job found out it was a real devil. The Bible said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Well, who are these sons that came? Well, you just got to look up that and get your own opinion. I have mine. The Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. His force. Then look in Job 2, verse number 1. You can underline this again. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, watch this, verse 3. This blows Baptist's mind. Hast thou considered my servant Job? I wonder would God recommend us to the devil. Hast thou considered my servant, he said. Just because you serve God, don't you think the devil ain't coming to where you at? He said, there's none like him in the earth, perfect, upright, one feareth God, escheweth evil. Still he holdeth fast his integrity against thou that movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Satan answered the Lord, said, skin for skin. He said, verse 5, if you'll put your hand now and touch his bone, his flesh, he'll curse thee to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. He said, it's only a certain amount that you can go to Job's house. So went Satan forth in the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And his wife said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and died. He said, you speak as one of foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now I want to say something in Job chapter 1. You ought to read it tonight. He lost every child he had. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. Now he's lost his health. Let me ask you something about this Benny Hinn crowd tonight. Send me your money because God's will for you is perfect health and wealth. That's a lie. That ain't in your Bible. It may be God's perfect will that Miss Peggy be sick flat of her back tonight. Do you hear me? For all things work together for good to them that love God. The devil ain't going no further than God will allow him to go. But this is what amazes me, and I've never understood it in years of preaching. Why does God let him go anywhere? You know why? Because he expects us to have something in us to combat the devil. He expects us in a church like this to have something in us when he comes that we can stand against the wiles of the... No place in Ephesians 6 will you find anything for your backside when you're running. If you're going to stand and fight the devil, you've got to stand and fight with him head on, honey. All of your armor is for looking straight at him tonight. Eyes toward Jesus and your face toward him. Don't tuck tail and run. He'll beat you to death. Stand. Paul said and done all to stand on the... You know why churches are struggling tonight? They quit standing. Because somebody said, what you got for our children? They seen a few families leave because they wanted Roper Room instead of church. Wanted pony rides and... Help me, Jesus. I feel the flesh coming tonight. He said, and do all to stand the force of the devil, the fall of the devil. Ephesians 2 and 2, he's the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you something. Our politicians don't have a chance in Ephesians 2:2. Our politicians don't have a chance without the Holy Ghost against the devil. You know, everybody's always talking about Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. Ain't no doubt he's one of the best golfers ever been made. Let me ask you something. If you had $1 billion and didn't have the Holy Ghost, I wonder how you'd act. I want to win the lottery, preacher. You probably don't. Because you act goofy enough being broke. Can I get a witness tonight? Ephesians 2 and 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Boy, don't take you long on your job to realize what course they own, does it? Ain't it something you say, well, them people at my work don't like me and they act like the devil and I can't believe they act that way. Read your Bible. God's put you in there to be a light to them, to bring them to Liberty Baptist Church if they can get saved, but just like you got saved. How in the world can you lead anybody to Jesus if you acting like them? You think you're better than them? Are you setting a corn crib with blinders on? You got to walk around letting your light shine, let sinners see that Jesus done something to you. And it works. Legion wanted to go with him so bad, he said, Legion, boy, you can't go with me. Stay here and go tell your friends what great things the Lord's done. It'd be easy to just go home with him. He said, no, buddy, you're going to stay here a while. Let your light shine. I wish we'd get on the Great Commission in our church. I wish you'd just win the people you work with, that you run with. Let them find out it's fun being a Christian. Ephesians 2, course of this world, according to prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That word's behavior in times past. Let me stop right here, young Christians. Brother Mike may be fixing to start a young convert class in our church. We've got enough to do that if you'd be faithful and come to it. But let me tell you something. The best thing you can do, and you ought to write this down, and go get you a Life Application Study Bible, King James Version. It'll unlock this scripture to you tonight. You can't find a better study Bible for a young Christian on the bookshelf. Life Application Study Bible. King James Version. It's going to be hard to find one. The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And let me tell you something, young Christian. Them desires of the flesh is still going to come up in front of you. And you're going to have to put them on the cross and kill them. You're going to have to run to the cross and say, Dear Jesus, give me power. Oh, Holy Ghost, give me power for this temptation that's coming up against me in my life. Because this is what you're going to do. When sin comes and tempts you, now that you're saved, and you give in to that sin, you're going to be the most miserable person on the face of the earth. Till you get it back right with Jesus. You listen to this preacher tonight. You'll always have a relationship. You'll always be a child of God now you're saved. But honey, it's something else to keep fellowship. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, you ought to underline, you ought to shout. But God, look what He is, who is rich in mercy. Why ain't you in hell tonight? Running around like somebody crazy. Waking up, not even know how you got there. Running around on your husband and wives. One of you didn't get shot. But God, ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing how God loves old sinners? And you think I'm going to sit around and just walk through and say, so? Buddy, I know what God's done for this preacher. But God, who's rich in mercy, ain't you glad He didn't give you justice? But He gave you mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. Now, the fall, the force. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's conducting His activities on the earth. Tricking people. Now, tonight, let's notice number 2, not only this person, but this place. And I close in verse 2, back to that text. Revelation 9 and verse 2. Not only the person, but a place. The Bible said, Revelation 9 and 2, and He opened the bottomless pit. There rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Notice it is bottomless. And here, this bottomless pit, it gives us our word of abyss. A-B-Y-S-S. It refers to a very deep channel or a very deep inlet. What's it talking about, preacher? The word literally means a well. Science denies it. Lost men deny it. Liberals deny it. Human reason denies it. But there is a place beneath us tonight called hell. Souls of lost people are burning there tonight. Now, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah 5 and 14, you can go there, I won't go for a second time, but hell hath enlarged herself. What's that tell you tonight? God never created hell for souls. The Bible said He created hell for the devil and his angels. You go there as an intruder tonight. The way a person dies and goes to hell, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. He's not a way, not some way. He's the way. Don't ever let anybody tell you all roads lead to heaven. They don't. Muslim faith, Jehovah Witnesses, they believe Jesus was just a good prophet. But He's not the door. He's not the access to God. This Bible teaches us no God. I mean, honey, no Jesus, no God. No Jesus, no heaven. You don't get to God bypassing Jesus tonight. Now, this is a burning place. Luke 16:19. There are souls that's burning in hell tonight. Those that died 2,000 years ago, they still in hell tonight. Luke 16:19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there's a certain beggar named Lazarus that's laid at his gate full of sores. He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now I'm going to say something tonight. Burying ought to be Christian. Now you can get exterminated if you want to and try to save a coffin bill. Yo, let me tell you right now, somebody better bury this preacher. They ain't putting me in a incinerator and putting gas on me. I say they ain't, I won't be able to do nothing about it, will I? But burying's Christian. I don't even feel right at them services. Don't get quiet. My loved ones do it too, but don't make it right. Watch what he done. Verse 23. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Look that word up. It's torture. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now, Abraham, the father of our faith, said, Son, remember. And this is a bad thing about in hell. You can remember. There'll be people come to this church, heard a gospel presentation. They'll die and go to hell. And I believe with all my heart they will remember this preacher preaching. Remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things and likewise Lazarus the evil. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. You can't get out of here. Verse 27, this is what he said. Well, I pray you then that you'd send him to my father's house, for I've got 5 brethren that he may preach unto them or testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Let me tell you, hell's no place to get your burden, friend. He said, I got 5 brothers. Go tell them about Jesus, lest they come to where I'm at. And he said, listen to what he said. Nay, Father Abraham. He said, Abraham said to him, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You better underline that tonight. Because if you're going to get saved, it's because you're going to hear an old preacher preach the Word of God. You better hear them what he said. God said, I ain't called them boys for nothing. I ain't put a Bible in their hand and filled them with the Holy Ghost for nothing. You better listen what they got to say. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went to him from the dead, they'll repent. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The place. What a terrible place. It's a deep place. It's a dark place. It is a disturbing place tonight. But then lastly, and I want you to read it when we get home, not only the person and the place, but there's a plague. Did you notice when Lucifer went and he unlocked hell and all them demons came out of there? Smoke ascended and rose out. He said it's going to be plagues come on people in this world during this tribulation. And it's going to be so bad they're going to suffer. So they're going to wish they could die and they can't even die when death takes a vacation. Won't that be something? A man will take a gun, try to take his life. He won't even be able to take his life. You say, preacher, you really believe all that? I tell you how much I believe it. I believe it so much I'm standing on it tonight. And I believe I don't have to worry about it because I'm saved and I'm headed to glory tonight. Amen. At the sound of that trumpet, you listen to me, young'uns. This preacher's going out of here. And it ain't no fairy tale. I ain't reading out of a Reader's Digest tonight. This is the Bible. He said, you must be born again. And I believe it with all my heart. I want to ask you something now. He said, hear them. If I believe anything tonight, I believe God had me say that tonight. Because I don't know when I've seen that and thought about that. He said, you better hear them. I want to ask you something. No music. I just simply want to ask you a question tonight. Are you saved? Are you genuinely born again and know you're going to heaven? And I want to ask another question. Do you know that you're not saved tonight? And you know if you was to die right now in your heart, hell would be your home. You know that. And if you want to be saved tonight, let me tell you something. There's room at the cross. You hear this preacher this evening? There's room for you. There's room for you to cry. And I believe with all my heart, time is winding down. And you better run to Christ while you can run to Him. Every head bowed in the building, I'd ask you tonight.